We're going to talk about tonight the benefits, some things that I can expect as I seek God. Now, seeking God is such a varied subject. I mean, there's so many different ways that we can seek God. For example, worship service a few moments ago. That's a wonderful way to seek God. There's at least 50 levels of worship that we can seek God into, move into higher levels and higher levels of worship. Another one is obedience. If God has told you to do something, the way you seek Him is by becoming obedient. And then listening. Listening is a form of seeking God. Just having a time where you give God opportunity to speak into your heart. That's seeking God. And so there's so many wonderful ways. But if we will allow the Holy Spirit will take each one of us individually. And the Holy Spirit will lead us into the presence of God and will help us to seek God. It can be more than a worship service. And it, because seeking God is so, it's just so many dynamics that come in as God is drawing me closer to Him. I'm looking right at our prayer warriors here. Prayer is a wonderful way, wonderful, powerful way of seeking God. And so there's just so many ways. But if you allow the Holy Spirit will lead you. What I want to talk about tonight, though, I want to talk about the benefits of seeking God. Where that we can release our faith and faith that in our pursuit of the Lord, some things that we can expect. And you need to get your expectancy up. Because that's faith. As you get your expectancy up, as you expect certain things to happen in response to you seeking God, then that raises your faith level up as it makes it available for God to bless us. So we want to expect things as we seek God. Now, I'll be honest with you, if there wasn't one benefit other than just His presence, it's well worth just seeking God for His presence. Amen. Just to be able to be close to God. It's well worth it. But there's so many precious benefits that come by way of seeking God. So as we do pursue the Lord, and just like in learning that Brother Roberts teaches on the blessed life, that's seeking God. As I'm growing in ways of moving into the blessed life, that's seeking God. If I give attention to the Word of God in my life, that's seeking God. As I'm out on my job and I just refuse to enter in to worldly antics and worldly conversation that would be demeaning, that's seeking God. As I resist the world, that's seeking God. As I choose to line my life up with God, that's seeking God. It's me coming into a place that will draw me into a nearer place with God. Because God said, if I would draw near to Him, He would draw near to me. All right, those that pursue God, some expectancies that we can have. Now, we've covered some of these, but we haven't covered, there's several that we haven't, and that's one that we want to take on tonight. James chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, and when you draw close to God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? When you draw close to God, what's going to happen? Now, you need to build that assurance in your life. I have people come to me all the time, they say, I don't know how to get close to God. All you have to do is start drawing close to Him, and He'll draw close to you. I mean, it's just process. I mean, for a person to get close to me, you've got to make some steps up here, and then I can make some steps towards you. But the Scripture says that when you draw close to God, so when, everybody say when. When I do that, when I draw close to God, then God's going to respond by doing what? Drawing close to me. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. We usually just start off chasing promises. Now, I believe a promise is a wonderful way to move close to God. But it's the process of seeking God. That's the will of God. The will of God is that I seek God. And the Bible says, after I've done the will of God, then I can expect to receive the promise. So, any time you walk into a situation or a circumstance, Carolyn, I see you back there tonight. Now, my mind was just on your dear mom just earlier. And our hearts are heavy still with you. As Sue, though, tonight, her heart's not heavy. Sue's with Jesus, and she is so happy. and she is so happy tonight. Praise God. I tell you, she's taken the major plunge of getting close to God. She really has. Praise the Lord. So the first thing that the will of God is that I would see God. So if I'm needing the promises of God in my life, I need to find those promises, locate those promises. Then I need to take those promises and determine to draw close to God, to seek God. Because seeking God is His will. The Bible says, after you've done the will of God. Sometimes people just come, they hold a promise like a rabbit's foot. And they'll say, why hadn't God done this for me? Well, what have you done? Have you obeyed God? Have you moved your life into a closer place with God? Have you been seeking God? Have you been rising early praying? Have you been worshiping and worship stuff? I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing in your life to seek God? I mean, the promises are not a rabbit's foot. I mean, you don't take it and rub it three times and hope, poof, something happens. So this scripture says, after you've done the will of God. So after I have been pursuing God, I can expect to receive the promise. Now Luke chapter 12, verse 31, it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Everything else in my life, it said, if I'll seek it first, and then He will give me everything I need. Isn't that a precious promise? If I will seek God first, if I will make it my first pursuit, then I will receive everything I need in life. All right, the first thing that we can expect as we seek God, those that pursue God have a supernatural voice and a supernatural guidance in their life. Now, we've already talked about that and how important it is to handle the storms of life with a guidance of the Holy Spirit with you. For you to be able to make it through the storms of life, for you to be able to make it through the trouble of this life, it's going to take being able to follow God. So as you seek God, God will make His voice known to you. So many people say, well, how do you hear God? Well, if you'll start pursuing God, God will bring you into a place that will cause you to hear Him. I believe that with all my heart. Because the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and know His voice. So if you begin to pursue God, you may not know it at first. You might say, I don't know how to hear God. I don't know how God. But if I'll begin to pursue God, then God will begin to make His voice known to me. Somebody that has the voice of God with you tonight, why don't you just hold it up? And those thousands of pages right there. That's God's Word. And God will speak to you out of that. Amen. Now, God can also speak by His Spirit that will bear witness with that. But God speaks out of that Word. And if you need to hear God, then you begin to pursue God, begin to do what you know to do to draw your life closer to God, begin to take that Bible in prayer, and God will begin to reveal His voice to you. God will begin to speak to you. All right, praise the Lord. I love what the Scripture says in Psalms 32. It says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. That's what God does for people that pursue God. If you will give your life to seeking God, God said, I'll guide you along the best places in life. The second thing is, people that pursue God, they have a supernatural strength in their life. It's hard to really understand that, but there is a strength that comes out of God's great might that comes into believers. The Bible calls it the power of long-suffering that's given to us as fruit of the Spirit. But as I begin to pursue God, there becomes a supernatural strength in me. I tell you what, you just can't hang around God and stay weak. His strength has a way of oozing out of Himself and oozing into you. So if you stay around God, there's going to be a strength that's at it. In the book of Ephesians, it said, strengthened with might by His Spirit in my inner man. So out of God's great might, He strengthens us. So as I draw, if you're here tonight and you're feeling weak, you're feeling like you're almost going to give up. I say, Jerry, I just can't hardly make it. I don't know how long I can stand her doing me like that. I don't know how long I can stand him. I don't know how long I can stand the job doing me that bad. I don't know how. Well, you just need to draw close to God. Because God has a supernatural strength that will be able to flow into your life. In fact, the Bible refers to it as the grace of God. And it says that in our times of greatest weakness is greatest opportunities for His greatest power. When we're the weakest, when we run out of our strength, that's just an opportunity for us to step over to His strength. Now, I've got a word for somebody here tonight that just feels like, you know, I'm about ready to go back. I'm about ready to give in to addiction. I'm about ready to... I want you to know, there's a strength in you. Now, you make him pull wool over some people's eyes, but you can't pull them over my eyes. You can handle it. God can give you the strength to handle what you're going through. God can give you the strength. Now, if you're going to be on your own and pursuing your own life and spending your nights pursuing NBC and ABC and all of that instead of pursuing God, honey, then you may not have strength. But if you will begin to seek God and begin to put things out of your life that are convenient, and you begin to do what's inconvenient, begin to seek God, there will become in your life a supernatural strength that will be made available to you. Amen. I tell you what, if I had to run on my own strength, I think I'm the wickedest man here. But do you know what? I had to learn a long time ago, I can't run on my strength. I have to run on God's strength. Amen. And it is just a faith statement, a faith belief away. All you have to do is just offer yourself to the presence of God. All right, everybody say strength. And Psalms 105 says, search for the Lord and His strength. So as you're seeking God, that's one of the things you're seeking for. You're seeking God for His strength. The third thing that you can expect as you begin to pursue God, those that pursue God have a supernatural faith in their life. A faith. There comes a supernatural voice. And this comes as God's voice, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. As you begin to hear God, faith arises. Whether you hear God speaking out of His Word, or whether you hear God speaking by His Spirit into your spirit in accordance with His Word. When you hear God, man, I tell you, I know immediately, when I begin to be a little bit discouraged, there was a point in time where that was my norm. Discouragement was my norm. But I found out that you can't live like that. You can't live victorious like that. You won't conquer anything like that if you're going to live discouraged. And the only way that you can live in faith is to be able to hear God. You've got to be able to hear God in His Word, and you've got to hear God begin to speak to you by His Spirit in accordance with His Word. So I've learned that the moment that I sense that I'm a little bit discouraged, I immediately run to a quiet place. And in that quiet place, I begin asking the Lord to speak to me. And I can begin with the Word of God, or now it's got where I can just, because the Word, as God, the more Word God puts in you, the more He can speak to you. Amen. The less words in you, the more you're going to have to search for that Word. But the more Word you have in you, then the easier it is for God to speak to you. And so I know that when I become discouraged, the antidote for that discouragement is God's voice. Because when you hear God, faith comes. And when faith comes, discouragement goes. Now, do you hear what I'm telling you? If you want to win in this life, if you want to win in the battle that you're facing, you can't do it discouraged. The moment you realize you're discouraged, you've got to move in something to come out of that discouragement. And the thing that brings you out of the discouragement immediately is God's voice. I tell you, I have that happen to me usually several times a week. Usually several times a week, I can feel it. It was a time where, like I said, discouragement was my norm. Well, so I couldn't, it wasn't an anti-spirit to me. It was like a familiar spirit. I mean, I could be discouraged for days, and I didn't realize I discouraged until I was way down in the dumps. Because it was familiar to me. But not so now. Now I can feel discouragement, I think, when it's a mile away. I can feel it's not my norm anymore. And that's what God wants to bring all of us. To where you don't live a discouraged life. Where you live an encouraged, strong life in Jesus. Strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's what God wants us to live. To live in His power, His might, and His strength. And the way you do that is to hear God. So as you pursue God and God begins to reveal His voice to you and you begin to hear the Lord, whether you're hearing God in His Scripture or you're hearing God in His voice speaking into your spirit in accordance with His Scripture, when you hear God, faith comes. And I tell you what, it happens immediately to me. It happens immediately. The moment I can feel discouragement, it's not a familiar spirit anymore. At one time, it was a familiar spirit. I'd given way to it so much, it was my buddy. You know, it's the kind of like cry my beer kind of thing, you know. But no longer. It's no longer familiar to me. So now when discouragement begins to ooze in, I can immediately, almost always, immediately feel that discouragement. So I know the antidote, the pill to take, is God's voice. And so I immediately then run to God's Word, or to a place that I can hear God. And then when I get there, and let me tell you what, God wants to talk to you all the time. God's not a silent partner. He's not a silent partner. God wants to talk to you all the time. And the moment that you begin to shut down, you begin to hear God, then immediately faith comes by hearing, hearing by the rhema word of God. Immediately faith comes when God's voice speaks. Amen. So praise. So faith is another measure. Now the fifth thing that happens to those that pursue God, they have a supernatural inner joy. I tell you what, you can just tell somebody, you can tell anybody, you can be at a greeting desk at the front of this church, and you can tell people that live in the presence of God. And then you can immediately tell people that don't. Because people that pursue God and that live in God's presence, there is an inner joy that fills their life. I mean, you just can't hang around with a joyful God and stay a sad mope. It won't happen. When you hang around a joyful God, that joy oozes into your life. Because, see, you get joy, the Bible says, we receive joy through believing. So when I'm not believing, I don't have joy. As long, joy has nothing to do with my circumstances. Joy has nothing. Joy will give me the power to handle those circumstances. Joy is the power, is the strength of God over those circumstances. So joy has nothing to do with your circumstances. But joy comes by believing, the Bible says. Joy and peace come by believing. So when I'm believing God, and I'm refusing to accept the things that I see and feel, I mean, you have to learn to live a spiritual life. If you're going to live a carnal life, I mean, life is going to be miserable for you. You're going to be like a fish out of water all the time. I mean, life's going to be miserable for you trying to live a believer's life in carnality. You've got to draw that line and say, I'm just going to step across that line and be spiritual. I'm just going to begin to live like a spiritual person is supposed to live. And first thing spiritual person recognizes is not to believe. It's not by the sight of our eyes. And it's not by the feelings that we feel. But it's what we believe in our heart. And God's going to miraculously move into every person's life, not by you feeling it, and not by you seeing it, by you believing it. That's why when Jesus worked a miracle, he said, so be it unto your faith. He would say, do you believe that I can do this? Believing in your heart is what opens the door to the miraculous in all of our lives. So we just have to step across that line and have to say, you know what? I'm going to begin to live like a believer. I'm going to no longer allow my feelings to dictate what my life is going to be. And I'm not going to live by the sight of my eyes, but I'm going to live by the faith in my heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. So joy. One of my favorite films of all time now is Risen. I love the movie. We showed it here. Everybody remember when we showed Risen back a few months ago? And what I loved about it, I just loved it. I mean, I just can't tell. I can't get enough of that movie. Because they was hilariously joyful all through it. We had a joyful Jesus in it, had a joyful Peter in it, had a joyful disciples in it. And I'm just tired of looking at those pictures where those disciples look like they just suck on lemons, you know, all the time. Because that's not the life of a believer. A life of a believer is living joy. You remember how he was and Peter in that movie? I mean, he would be like crazy. I mean, when they would try to make him worried about something, he'd just start laughing. And Jesus was just so happy. Because that's the way, even that's the way that you deal with hard times. See, joy doesn't leave you when times get hard. Man, I tell you, joy will do its greatest dancing the harder it gets. And you know, God practices that. God practices. You know how God wins over His enemies? The Bible said in heaven, He dances over His enemies. God handles things differently than what the world teaches us to handle things. So instead of crying in your beer and trying to get somebody to feel sorry for you and just trying to get somebody to see how bad it is, why don't you just say, it doesn't matter, I'm going to have the joy of the Lord in this situation. And the joy releases the miraculous. Just like faith, believing when you can't see, releases the miraculous. Joy releases the miraculous. Somebody says, I can't wait till my husband changes. Well, why don't you let him come home to a changed wife first? And vice versa. I mean, in some families, if somebody laughed, it would almost, house may fall down. Man, let the joy of the Lord upset some things, change some things. Just lay back, honey, and enjoy the ride. Because if you spend all of your life in worry, you spend all of your life in fretting, I mean, let me ask you, how's it worked for you so far? Has it changed anything yet for you? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. Man, I tell you what, God put me on a pursuit all this summer. It really started last spring. And it was the pursuit of peace and joy. And what God said, Jerry, every situation, my eyes are on you. And I want you to learn how to handle every situation, first in peace, and then in joy. And God said, I want you to laugh about it. And I'll tell you, it's been one of the biggest struggles of my life. It's been a real learning curve. But I'm so thankful God loves me enough to let me grow up a little bit. Amen. I'm so thankful that God loves me enough to let me grow up a little bit. And so I know immediately when a new situation I'm faced with or another circumstance, whatever it is, immediately, sometimes I have to take two steps back. And what I do, that's what I found. I'm going to keep working at it till I have peace immediately. But now I have to take two steps back. I was usually taking a big, deep breath. And I say, Lord, I choose to let your peace rule my heart. And when I say that, it's just like the stormy ocean becomes a quiet breeze and blow. Because the turmoil can still be out here. But peace inside here. Amen. So the two great seeds, and so that's my pursuit of God now, is the pursuit of peace. That's the way the Lord's told me to pursue Him at this particular time, is the pursuit of peace and then the pursuit of joy. So, and I found out if you're in the presence of God, that joy just going to ooze out. Amen. I think some of us just need to watch the risen a whole lot more times. All right. Number five, get that inner joy. Everybody say inner joy as I pursue God. And Psalms 22:26, it says, go to the slide right before Psalms 22. Well, I love the expression on that guy's face. I just love. I've taken his face with me into a lot of situations. Because I love the expression of joy. Now, don't you just look at his face just a minute. You have no idea what's around him, do you? You have no idea what the circumstances are around him. But what you do know is what he has in him, don't you? You can easily tell it. Now, scripture chance. Psalms 22, 26. All who seek the Lord shall find Him and shall praise His name. Their hearts shall what? Their hearts would do what? Rejoice with the what? An everlasting joy. Now, they do have to redo it again. Now, I was raised on a farm. Now, George was raised in the city life. They had a two-goat wagon. I only had a one-goat wagon, so they were city life. But believe it or not, I mean, we didn't have indoor plumbing, none of those conveniences. And out behind the house was this, it's a pump. That's where you got water. And so, you could stand there at that old pump and you could do that all day long and nothing wouldn't happen. But then you take that little can that was sitting down beside that pump and you could pour that little bit of water in that pump. We call it priming the pump. You pour that little bit of water in there and then it would be unbelievable. You could pour just a little bit in and man, it would be unbelievable at the gushes that would, every time you, and just gushing that out. So sometimes you may have to prime your pump, is what I'm saying. That's why it says rejoice. Because see, a rejoy is more than a joy. It's a rejoy. You've had to rejoy it again. So God tells you, as you seek God, that you have the power for priming that pump. Now you can just remain stubborn and you can just remain discouraged. You can just be stubborn like that. You can say, well, man, I've been discouraged all my life. I'm going to be discouraged the rest of my life. I mean, you can do that. That's the way you want to live life. But if you want to change life, you can. And you can be different. God will give you, as you seek Him, He will give you the power to prime your pump. And you will begin to draw water from depths that you never thought possible. And you will be able to bring up in your life a flow of depth of water, a cool water. And that's the thing that I can remember, no matter how hot the summer day was, with that pump, man, it was pulling water from well down below. And no matter how hot it was, cool, refreshing water would come up. So as you see God, God's going to help you do that. Amen? So remember that scripture, all who seek the Lord shall find Him. Is that what it says? And shall what will they do? They'll praise His name. Their heart shall what? Rejoice with what? Everlasting joy. And then show that next picture. I just like a happy Jesus. I just like a happy Jesus. Don't you just like a happy Jesus? I mean, you know, that's really the expression of Jesus. That we have a happy Jesus and He's looking for happy disciples. Amen. All right. Now, Romans chapter 15, verse 13, just a few more verses along that line. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So where do you get joy? It's when you believe. Until you believe, you don't have it. But the moment you start believing is the moment you can start having joy. And I love the scripture in Acts chapter 27, verse 22, when Paul was faced that terrible storm and he was facing even the execution of his own life. And Paul stood up and said, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. I mean, right in the middle of a storm, Paul stands up and said, be happy. I mean, right in the middle of this storm, and they're considering throwing Paul overboard. The first thing he tells them, he don't rather them say, you better obey God. That's not the first thing. First thing he tells them, be of good cheer. Be happy. The first thing he has. Because I tell you what, joy will begin to release the miraculous in all of our lives. If we were determined to have joy in the midst of situations, it would release the miraculous. And number six is those that pursue God, they have a supernatural protection to their life. There's a supernatural protection to the life. And I'm going to go right into the last one I want to talk about tonight. And it will bring us back into the protection. And that's number seven. Those that pursue God have a supernatural secret place in their lives. I want you to know, as you pursue God, God's going to give you a secret place. And the secret place that God gives you is a promised place. God promises those that pursue and seek Him. He promises them a secret place. And that secret place It is a place of direction. It's a place of re-strengthening. It's a place of protection. Psalms 32 and 7 says, "You are my hiding place." That's what it says. You are. You are my hiding place. When everything in this world is trying to tear me apart, you are, Lord, my hiding place. You protect me. Notice what his hiding place does. It protects me from trouble. Amen. You surround me with songs of victory. Amen. And then we have the most powerful promise. Chance, go to just that next little picture. I love pictures. Because what's done in secret. See, your secret place, when God, as you pursue God and God brings you into that secret place, then God gives you one of the most powerful promises. What you do in that secret place, what you pray in that secret place, what you sing in that secret place, what you declare in that secret place. Matthew 6:6 says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Amen. Powerful promise of God. As we pursue God and God brings us into that secret place, I tell you, that place of intimacy with the Lord, that place that nobody will understand, a place that when you're going through trouble, you have that place with God that you're able to confide in Him. And God says, what you and God experience in that secret place, God's going to cause it to be known outwardly. What God said is, you may be asking me in secret, but when I get ready to answer it, I'm going to answer it so everybody will know. I love you, and I care about you, and I've come to your rescue. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Chance, go to that next picture. So it's the secret place with God. It's the place of protection, the place of blessing. Now, there's so many scriptures that relate to that place, that secret place, as we begin to pursue God. God brings you. But I'm going to tell you what, in your secret place, there will be no discouragement will be allowed. No frustration and no fear. I don't know where your secret place has been. Mine's been a lot of different places. Mine's been in the bed in the middle of the night. Mine's been at this old altar when tears would course down my face and drop on this floor here that we stand on tonight. It's been out in the woods where I would just try to find a place where I would just get along with God. But I tell you, God will lead you to a secret place. If you will pursue Him, and there will be such strength and such power, what you and God will experience in that secret place, words will never be able to express it. What God will do for you and in you in that secret place is what is the depth of our heart, is what our heart has cried out for all of our life. In Psalms 91, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable." That means when everything around you is shaking, if you will pursue God and allow God to bring you into that secret place, everything around you will be shaking, but God will keep you stable. When your family may be going in every which way, every all kinds of directions, God will keep you stable in that secret place. Remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. Isn't that a powerful promise? God's going to keep you stable, and the foe has no power against it. Verse 3 says, "For He will rescue you from every trap." That's the secret place. Wherever the devil is trying to catch you, wherever the trap's trying to be laid, He will rescue you from every trap. And He will protect you from every deadly disease. Isn't that a powerful promise? Isn't that a powerful promise of God? Isn't that a powerful promise, God? In the secret place, He will protect you. Everybody say, He will protect me from every, I love what it says. It says, every deadly disease. Verse 4 says, His faithful promises will be my armor and my protection in that secret place. Amen. Psalms 27:5 says, For in the day of trouble, He will hide me in His shelter. In the secret place of His tent will He hide me. He will set me on high upon a rock. Psalms 81:7, You called in distress, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place, God said. I answered you in the secret place. Psalms 32:7 says, You are my safe and secret place. You will keep me from trouble. Can you say amen? Well, that's as far as we have time tonight. Let's just stand and give the Lord a hand for His secret place. Could we? Lord, thank You. Lord, thank You. I want to close just very quickly. I just want to give a call if there's anyone here tonight. If you're here tonight, and this is what I felt before service, if you're here tonight and you're in need for a miracle, I mean, you would classify what you need to be a miracle. You're here tonight and you need a miracle of God. I felt the Lord spoke to my heart earlier and said there were those that were here tonight that would not only need a miracle, there were those that were here tonight that could believe for a miracle. So I'm just going to quickly ask you this, that if you're in a place or a situation or whatever it may be, and you're in a place where you need a miracle, I want you to come and stand right here with me. Would you do that? If you're in a place that you need a miracle, and you would classify what you need, you would classify it as a miracle. 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 I tell you, the Lord loves for His children to cry out. The Lord loves to come and help His children when they're in need. Psalms 81:7, the one we just read. You called in distress, the Lord said. You called in distress, and I delivered you, and I answered you in the secret place. God says, I answered you. I'm going to ask the Lord tonight to give you a witness of some way, of some way that you know, that you will know that when you turn from here tonight, that you will know that God has promised you. God usually says it to me like this, because God speaks my language. Does God speak your language? God speaks me. God usually speaks to me like this, Jerry. I'll handle it. If He's told me that one time, He must have told me that 1,000 times. I've heard Him say that to me over and over again. I'm trying to tell Him how bad the situation is, and He just has one. He said, Jerry, I'll handle it. I'll handle it.